Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for being here with me again. Tonight we're going to talk about the laying on of hands as we go out heal to bless, to impart the power of God and to see God move in our midst. Many times I see after church services, churches being dismissed quickly. And I don't see people laying hands. Although it may be happening in the parking lot, it may be happening in cell groups and Bible studies aside from that church service or separately from that church service. But this is something I'm seeing more and more of in my region. And some of it is rooted in religion. Some of it is rooted in other practices and other doctrines that are not biblical that say you shouldn't lay hands on people. You should just kind of pray for them from a distance and those kinds of things. But I want to show you from Scripture tonight that the laying on of hands is a biblical doctrine. It's actually a foundational doctrine found in the Bible. So we're going to go over what laying on of hands is, why it's important, why it's meaningful, why we should be practicing it today as followers of Christ. Hallelujah. So let's get started. And let's pray. So Lord Jesus, we just pray this evening, Father, that you would impart revelation into what it is we're carrying, Lord. We're glory carriers. We carry the literal Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as he indwells us, as you indwell us, Holy Spirit. We carry you and we can move in your power to heal, to see those who are sick healed, to see those who are oppressed by demonic forces delivered, and to see salvation. We can impart blessing. We can release peace and life over people where death and darkness have crept in. So Lord, teach us and help us to have a greater understanding of what laying on of hands is, what happens when we lay hands on people, Lord, and your power shows up. In Jesus' name, amen. So there is something powerful that takes place in the spiritual realm when believers lay hands for healing, deliverance, or blessing, or for anything, as they expect God to move. And expectation, hallelujah, is a breeding ground for miracles. Remember that. Laying hands creates a point of contact for the Holy Spirit's power to move through. Not that God needs that point of contact, not that he needs a point of contact to move in the lives of those who are lost and broken. He's sovereign, which means he's in control of all things, and he knows no limits. He has no limitations. He's not limited by space, time, or any other force in existence. We should also remember that. There have been times where I've thought to myself, why does he even use us to do these things, to do these works? Why does he even use us? Why does he use the people of God to minister through by laying on hands? He doesn't need us to heal. He doesn't need us to save. He doesn't need us to deliver. And in fact, we can't save. All we can do is preach the gospel and move in faith. And we'll see the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll see the Holy Spirit draw people unto Christ as we are faithful in doing the work of God. So only God himself can save a soul. But if you're asking this question, as I once was, that means you either don't know or you've forgotten that we are the body of Christ, which means the Spirit of God is living within us, as I just said. The Spirit of God is living within us, and we have become glory carriers. We carry the glory of God within us. And we are to be the embodiment, hallelujah, of Christ's power on this earth, the embodiment of Christ's power and love in the earth. We are Jesus' hands and feet in our communities, in our regions. And you know what? I'm just going to stop there. I want you to know you're a missionary in your own hometown. You're a missionary in your region. You're a missionary in your community, in your workplace. Many times people, you know, they travel across the world. They travel to places like Africa or China or Mexico or Guatemala, and they say, you know, I'm doing missionary work now. You're doing missionary work wherever you go. You're a missionary that's been sent out, that's been dispatched, that's been commissioned to go out to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. These signs shall follow those who are preaching the gospel, those who are moving in faith as they place their faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. I want you to know you're already a missionary. If you would just believe, or if you would just begin to believe that, you will walk in that. All right? So let's continue on. And let's turn now to Acts chapter 9, verses 4 and 5. Acts chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, as we talk about the body of Christ. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So this portion of Scripture details Paul's account on the road to Damascus. Paul fell from his horse as he was blinded by light. He was blinded by this light that came out of nowhere. Then Jesus spoke to him. And what exactly did he say? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Take note that he didn't say, why are you persecuting my people? He didn't say that. He didn't say, I'm Jesus and you're troubling my followers. He didn't say that. He said, why are you persecuting me? So when we are persecuted, Jesus is persecuted. You get that? That's a revelation right there. Okay? Just as Jesus is an extension of God himself, we are an extension of Jesus in the earth. Jesus is the Word of God and therefore is God. We are an extension of Jesus because the Spirit of God dwells within us as his followers. John 14, chapter 14, verses 19 and 20, express this concept best as Jesus says this: a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. At that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. So the fullness of God dwells in Jesus. We know that the fullness of God dwells in him bodily. Amen. All things have been given into his hands, and Jesus has granted us as his followers authority to heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out demons. He's given us authority over all the powers of the enemy. He's given us authority over sickness, over disease. He's given us authority to lay hands that people would then recover. We are God's sons and daughters, yet we are also his instruments and his vessels. He wants to use us. He wants to use his people. Now let's read Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. The author of Hebrews writes about spiritual maturity in Hebrews chapter 6 here. He writes about how important it is to move from the elementary principles of Christ to go on to perfection, meaning that we would continue to grow and to learn, that we continue in the process of being sanctified, that we continue in the process of moving on to being more pure and more holy, setting ourselves apart to live in holiness, which is so important. We need to shun the things of the world and cling to that which is of Christ, to abide in him, okay? To abide in him. You know, I can preach a whole other sermon on that, a whole other message on that, talking about how we need to leave the world alone because the world has infiltrated our churches. The world has infiltrated our congregations, groups of believers, and we are so focused on the world as the American church that we forget to focus on Christ throughout our day. We forget to bring Christ into the center of all of what we're doing. Amen? We need to cling to Christ. We need to remember that he's the one who created us. He's the one who saved us. He's the one who redeemed us and restored us. Now we're to live our lives for him. We're sold out. We need to be sold out for him because he's the one who purchased us. So he writes about how important it is to move from the elementary principles of Christ to go on to perfection, meaning that we would continue to grow and learn and that we continue the process or continue in the process of being sanctified. He then lists the foundational doctrines that our faith is established upon. Okay, so number one, the doctrine of baptism for the remission of sins. Number two, the doctrine of the laying on of hands. Number three, the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. Number four, and the doctrine of eternal judgment. Now, if the laying on of hands is foundational, being only one of four foundational doctrines, why do I see the laying on of hands being neglected in our churches? Why do I see church services being dismissed and saying, God bless you, see you next Sunday, and I don't see people standing at the altar to lay hands? In many of the churches that I visit and that I've grown up in, honestly, in this region, people continue to share these things with me as well, and what they're seeing, according to what they're seeing, and we're missing it. We're missing opportunities to see people healed. And the truth is that shows a lack of belief, a lack of faith. Just saying, you know what, nothing's going to happen anyway. Even if we laid hands, what would happen? You know, no, that's not what we should be working with. That's not the faith that should be rising up in us. We need to have faith for an expectancy to see people healed, saved, and delivered. So why is the church dismissed so quickly when the service ends sometimes? Or all of the time, depending on your church. Why isn't the prayer team laying hands and believing that the power of God's Spirit can make all who draw near whole? Why is that? Baptism with water is carried out without protest, isn't it? But what about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which the disciples tarried in Jerusalem to receive? Do we not understand the difference between the indwelling and the infilling? Are you a baby Christian? Do you not yet understand that? Or have you been brought up or raised up in a cessationist church that doesn't talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? That's a whole other issue. That's a whole other problem altogether, if you have. But we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. I'm going to teach you a little bit about it now. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. That's a seal guaranteeing our salvation, okay, at the beginning of our walk. But the infilling is when God pours out his Spirit in power from on high. The disciples were commanded not to leave Jerusalem in Luke chapter 24, verse 49. I'm giving you scripture. I want you to study this out for yourself. I'm giving you scripture. Don't believe me. Go to the scripture. There's many false teachers out there. There's false teachers, false prophets that are going to teach you something that they say is in scripture, but it's not. Or they're going to make things up. They're going to speak from their own understanding. They're going to speak from what they're believing and feeling out of their emotions, but they're not going to Scripture. They're not basing it on Scripture. Or they're cherry-picking. They're taking one Scripture and saying it's truth, but they're not looking at the entire Bible. They're not reading it in context. The disciples were commanded not to leave Jerusalem in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, and so they received what the Father had promised. When they were filled to overflow is when they were transformed into bold men. And as they were sent out to make disciples of all nations, they laid hands on new believers so that they would be filled by the Holy Spirit as well. They laid hands to see the Holy Spirit move and that the Holy Spirit would baptize and fill these new believers as well. So we find this happening in Acts chapter 8. As Peter and John traveled to Samaria because some of the people had believed the gospel there. And as you read through verses 15, 16, and 17, it states that the believers had been baptized with water, but the Holy Spirit hadn't yet come. So the apostles laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So what's happening here? What's going on here? Although a believer can be filled as they wait upon the Lord, the laying on of hands is also one of the ways God endues his people with power. He uses us as a conduit. He uses us as a catalyst. He uses us as instruments that the power of his Spirit may go and flow through us. And the Holy Spirit does the work that no man can do. I say that all the time. As I pray, as I lay hands on people, I say, Holy...
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
Spirit, do the work that no man can do. And I see the Holy Spirit show up. I see the Holy Spirit flow and move and heal. Hallelujah. We thank you. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. I thank you for all of the beautiful, wonderful, amazing things I've seen as I've laid hands and I've seen the power of God move. It's obviously not us. It's the Holy Spirit moving and living within us that flows through us and to that person. So don't ever question what's been revealed to you in the Spirit. This is a word for someone right now. This is a word for someone who's listening. Don't ever question what's been revealed to you by God's Spirit in the Spirit. You'll be tempted to question the things God has revealed at some point in your walk. But when you're tempted, remember the day you were baptized by the Holy Spirit. Remember the day when you felt that first wave of God's anointing. When you've been immersed in His presence. When you've experienced His perfect peace. When you've had a drink from the fountain of living waters, you are assured of His life-giving power. You are assured of the living God's power and truth and love. As we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and lay our hearts bare at the foot of the cross, the Spirit of God continues to have His way in our lives, continuing to lay our hearts down, continuing to confess sins as we have committed them. Confessing them to the Lord, confessing them to other brothers and sisters that we trust. Okay, if you're a brother in Christ, find, if you don't have one, another brother in Christ that you feel you can trust to confess sins to share your struggles with so you can pray for one another. And sisters, find a sister in Christ, okay? It's best not to cross those two. It's best not to have a man confessing to a woman or a woman to a man unless that person is your pastor and they're trusted and they're respected. Because there are things that can obviously happen between genders there, where emotions and feelings and connections can be made that aren't always healthy. And that's why I advise you that way as well. So let's go on. Let's move on. Let's open up to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. And it says this. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And obviously Paul wrote this. Amen? So Paul writes to Timothy here and reminds him to stir up the Spirit of God within himself. He goes on to encourage Timothy by speaking of the nature of the Holy Spirit and that God has given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, not a spirit of fear. And how did Timothy receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? How did he receive it? He received it through the laying on of Paul's hands. And that's spoken of here in this scripture. Are you finally beginning to believe that there's something to this? Are you finally believing, hey, maybe there is something to this laying on of hands if you haven't seen it in your churches? It's all through scripture. And I'm going to show you that. Now let's take a look at another aspect of laying on of hands. Let's go all the way back to the Old Testament. Let's go to Numbers. Numbers chapter 27, verses 22 and 23. Again, that's Numbers chapter 27, verses 22 and 23. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation. And he laid hands. He laid his hands on him and inaugurated him just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Okay, by the hand of Moses. So in this chapter, we see God speaking with Moses about the consequences of his refusal to do exactly what the Lord had commanded in the desert. Moses intercedes on behalf of Israel and asks the Lord to set another man over the people to lead them. So in verses 22 and 23, we see Moses laying his hands on Joshua before Eleazar the priest. And through the laying on of hands, Moses passes spiritual authority onto Joshua. Again, did God need Moses to do this? Did God really need Moses to transfer the authority spiritually to Joshua? No, he didn't. God is sovereign. He could have transferred this authority himself. He could have just spoken a word to Joshua and said, "Now I anoint you. I have called you to lead these people." But no, he called Moses. He spoke to Moses to do it this way. Again, the laying on of hands being practiced, being used in the scriptures. God is sovereign and could have mantled Joshua with this authority without any kind of contact, but he chose to do it this way. Okay, let's pay attention to that. God loves to use his followers as vessels. He loves to make us a part of how he operates. And I've seen that time and time again, where God could have moved in a specific way, but he called people. He called people to be the catalysts. He called us to preach the message. He could have sent out angels all over the world. And actually, in the book of Revelation, God will send out an angel to preach the gospel. He'll send out angels to preach the gospel. But as of right now, God has called people to preach the gospel, people to go out and be used as instruments to heal, save, and deliver. Okay? So God loves to use his people. Now please turn with me to one last portion of scripture, and we're going to stay in the Old Testament. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 48. Genesis chapter 48, verses 14 through 16. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn, and he blessed Joseph and said, "God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, let my name be upon them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." So we see Jacob here. We see Jacob, who is called Israel, and he calls Joseph and his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Here there is a generational blessing being poured out and a transference that's taking place. There's a transference that happens when hands are laid. Once again, a transference, it could be of authority. It could be of the Holy Spirit moving and baptizing to overflow. It could be there are many different manifestations of God's power that take place when hands are laid. So as the favor, grace, and divine provision that rested upon Jacob's life was passed to these young ones, the portion of this blessing that could easily have been passed over with chapter 49 is the portion that contains the prophetic utterances that flowed out of this blessing. So there was a blessing here that could have been passed on naturally, but it was passed on through the laying on of hands, through laying hands. But there's something that you could miss here is what I'm saying. There's something that you could miss here in chapter 49 if you're not careful. So not only did Jacob pray for his children to be blessed, he prophesied over each one and told them that they were things that were yet to come. The greatest of these prophecies being the prophecy regarding Judah. All right, so let's read from chapter 49, verses 10 and 11. Okay, so this could easily be overlooked by people who don't necessarily believe in the gift of prophecy, who don't necessarily pay attention to what's prophetically uttered in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. But Genesis 49, verses 10 and 11. "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people, binding his donkey to the vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine." He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. Okay, so what could this mean? Verse 10 reveals that a ruler would rise from among Judah who would not only rule, but would establish the law of the Lord. And when he comes, the people would be obedient to him. So here we have a righteous king who is also a lawgiver, who also establishes a law, who establishes the law, and the people will serve and obey him. So he's going to be a king, but he's establishing a law. But there's already a law. Torah already exists. Torah already exists. So what law is this king going to be establishing? Verse 11 then goes on to speak about him tying up his colt, which was fulfilled when he rode in, when Jesus rode in on a colt at the triumphal entry. All of Jerusalem was crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. This is the day we now call Palm Sunday on our calendar, when the people nearly forced him to be their king. But they thought he was going to defeat Rome and take over that way. That's why they wanted them, right? They wanted him to be their king. So the second half of verse 11 says he washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. Prophecy is interesting due to the fact that it paints a picture where you have just enough of an impression to understand the meaning of what was originally said after it takes place, after it happens. This prophecy didn't really have to do with wine, did it? No, it didn't have to do with wine. It had to do with the blood that Jesus would spill. That he would spill his own blood at the cross to redeem us. I hope this message has helped you to understand what it means to lay hands, what it means to see that transference of God's power and authority as you step out in faith. It's a point of contact and a foundational doctrine taught by Jesus and the apostles. We can see that clearly in Scripture. We have the great privilege as believers to be used as instruments as we submit ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit. If we neglect to step out in faith, many will remain unchanged. Many will continue to be sick, continue to be oppressed, they will continue to be tormented. But we've been given the goods. Amen. We've been given the goods. God has imparted unto us his Holy Spirit. He's allowed his Holy Spirit to come in and indwell us. And what a gift. Where would we be without the power of the Holy Spirit? Where would we be, hallelujah, without his leading? Okay? And I'm not any better than you. We're all the same. Okay? We're all the same in the body of Christ. You have the same Holy Spirit I have. So brothers and sisters, I want to pray for you that you would step out more, that you would be bold in proclaiming the gospel and sharing God's truth and love, but also in saying, can I lay my hand on you? I want to pray because there's power in the laying on of hands. Okay? There's something that happens when we step out in faith, we lay our hand on someone, and we can literally sense the power and presence of God resting on that person, moving in that person. I can't count the amount of people, the number of people that I've seen healed, delivered from demons, or literally just had a heart change, a heart transformation, as I've laid hands on them and I've seen God move. Hallelujah. So let's make space. Let's make a place for the Holy Spirit right now as we pray and as we believe for God to move. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. Embolden my brothers and sisters, Lord, that they would have no problem stepping out. That break that shyness, Lord. Break that timidity, Lord, that they would step out boldly, that they would lay hands on those who need deliverance, on those who need wholeness in their bodies, on those who are sick, Lord God, on those who are just lost and broken, needing to have a touch from you, Lord. And most of all, as they experience your power, may they experience your love. May you transform hearts and minds, Lord God, and may you renew those people's spirits, Lord God, as we reach out, as we touch them, and as you touch them through us, Lord. Lord, give us the courage and the boldness as we step out in faith, Lord, as we see the need in our community, as we see the need in our workplace, may we step out in faith. I pray that for each one right now, for all those who don't know you, unto yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for sitting in on this teaching with me. I pray that you are blessed by it. I pray that you walk in boldness and authority in Jesus' name. God bless you and have a Merry Christmas.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.